Psalm 127, verses 3 through 5. Behold, children are the heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Brethren, we in the Church of God value our children. A lot of time, effort, and money is constantly being invested to help them grow and mature and to direct them in the way that they should go on that straight and narrow path. We have summer and winter camps most years. This year they were canceled because camps are hard to hold with social distancing. Since they're all sleeping in the same dorm and doing activities together, that's the purpose of it. We have youth Bible studies, youth magazines, we have feast lessons. But it's not easy to raise successful, godly children. This present evil world wants our children to fail. And there are many examples we see in the news every day of children, young people failing. Brethren, we in God's church cannot allow it. We must fight for the children. You want a title for this? Fight for our children. Fight for our children. Today we will discuss what it takes to raise godly children in an ungodly world. What it takes to help them become successful, godly adults, and not part of the sad news we read about or we view every day in the media. So let's begin by asking the question. Mr. Borgnale had a lot of questions for you today. I'll ask a question. What are the challenges? If we're going to do this, we need to know what we're up against. What are the challenges? Speaking to Judah, but also about the times in which we live, let's turn over to Isaiah 3. Isaiah 3 and verse 1. Isaiah 3 and verse 1. Isaiah 3 and verse 1, for behold, the Lord of hosts takes away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stock and the store, the whole supply of bread and the whole supply of water, maybe the toilet paper. Will you imagine that? That's the last thing I think people would go out and get, but I guess since the other food was available, that was the item of choice. Someday that'll be taken away too. The mighty man and the mighty man of war, the judge, the prophet, the diviner, the elder. Oops. The elder. Oh no. The captain of 50, the honorable man, the counselor, the skillful artisan, and the expert enchanter. I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. The people will be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. And the child will be insolent toward the elder, and the base towards the honorable. You know, one of the refreshing things about coming here to North Carolina, there's a lot less of that here than there is in other places. It's amazing. I even had teenagers open the door for me. I'm looking for my dad or something, you know. But that's what they do here. They're not insolent in many cases. Where we came from, it's more common for the children to be insolent and the base towards the honorable. We are living in very challenging times, brethren. It is more difficult today than ever to raise godly children. Many parents are either not interested, fearful, or feel wholly inadequate to do the job. Some are just distracted and impaired. We've been living incorrectly for a long, long time, and we're beginning to reap the results. We are into the second and third generations of parents that never knew a stable home. You know, I think about those things. When I grew up, and that was a long time ago, but moms and dads and kids were together at mealtime. You know, you say the family that's at mealtime together stays together, and we all went to church together. It might not have been this church, but it was a church, and they all taught the values. And they had that Sabbath issue a little wrong, but They all knew it was wrong to commit adultery. They all knew it was wrong to steal. They all knew it was wrong to murder people. Now, it depends. In some people's minds. And since we do feel inadequate in many cases, and since we haven't had the training because we haven't lived in a stable life in many cases, we turn our children over to the experts, first the daycare, then the schools. But where are the experts? Where are the experts? The captain of 50, the honorable men, the counselor, the skillful artisan, they're gone. We don't have them anymore. The judges, the prophets, the elders, the honorable men. Isaiah 1 and verse 3. This is what we're up against if we want to raise godly children in an ungodly world. Isaiah 1 verse 3. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, a sinful nation, people laden with iniquity. A brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors and have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Lord to anger, the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. That's never a good phrase you want to see in Scripture. When something goes away backward, that is the wrong direction. Why should you be stricken again? You'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the whole heart fails. The sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Terrible commentary on the times in which we live. But we have children and we have to do something. We have the responsibility as people of God to raise godly children. You know, it's once been said that it takes a village to raise a child. Now, certain people have claimed that. But it's actually an old African proverb by Anonymous, I think. Somebody did it, but we don't know who. Well, it may have been true at one time. I can remember a simpler time. I can remember a time when people knew right from wrong. No matter what your religion was, you knew right from wrong. I remember when teachers could correct and the parents would back them, and their correction was correct, and that's why the parents would back them, because they had the same values. But the village today is dysfunctional, and it's getting worse every year. It's dysfunctional and getting worse every year. Our children need guidance and direction like never before, but where will they get it? Us. Point number two. Husbands, love your wives. Point number two. Husbands, love your wives. Where are you going with this, Mr. Kozer? Where are you going with this? Is this a marriage sermon? Ephesians 5:25. You'll see in a minute. Ephesians 5:25-28. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. You know, Christ is pictured as the husband and the church as the bride. He gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present himself as her to himself as a glorious church, not having a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. Pure again, that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Gentlemen, we must love our wives. We must lead our families. When we become husbands, we must step up. We must accept the calling. We must accept the responsibility to be the husband of one wife. And we must put our families numero uno first. And that begins with the wife. You notice in the beginning when God created man and woman, he said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And he said, And everything he created was good. That was before children. That relationship started before children, and it was supposed to be good. And it was supposed to be family. Whether children ever enter the picture or not. And not to leave the wives out, Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit you to your own husbands as to the Lord. Sometimes that's harder to do than leading. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject to their own husbands. Raising children begins with a solid marriage. Raising children begins with a solid marriage. And we can give several sermons on that topic of marriage, and someday I'll start doing that. I haven't done that in a while, but I will start doing that again. But for this sermon, let me just say this. Young people, if you are single, resolve to be married before you have children. Do things in the correct order. Give your children the security and stability of a solid marriage. Parenting works better if the parents are a team, on the same page, physically, mentally, financially, spiritually. Can children be raised by single parents? Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Happens all the time. It's not the ideal. It's a lot more work for the parent doing it, whether man or woman. But it can be done. But it wasn't intended that way. It was intended to be a couple, a family. I always said, when we had one child, you never notice how many times you have a lot of pictures of the first child and not so many as the second? As soon as the second comes along, you're outnumbered. Yeah. First one, you can pass them back and forth, right? On the camera, passing them back and forth. As soon as you have two, it's like, oh no, my hands are full. My life is full. And when you get more than that, well, of course, when you get a lot more than that, I was raised with four boys in our family. I was the oldest of four. Then the older ones help with the younger ones, as long as they're not all roosters and fighting all the time. That's another story, but we'll get to that some other time. So children can be raised by single parents, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work, a lot more than it needs to be than if you have a nice, stable relationship with a partner in marriage. You know, years ago in the Stockton Church area, we were there many times in the Central Valley of California, we did a thing called Growing Kids God's Way. Have you ever heard of that? It's a course, 18 units, you know, you just go through it week by week and you meet together and you watch videos and you do workbooks and you have discussion and exercises. I don't know if you remember it or not, if any of you have taken it, but we did it twice. The first 8 of the 16 lessons deal with husband-wife relationship. And it was kind of fun to watch a lot of the people there. Some were getting real frustrated. You know, why are we wasting all our time on this? We need to get to how to take care of these little creatures running around here, you know, causing havoc in the family. And the answer was, it starts with a family. It starts with a husband and wife as a unit. And then from there, you can go out from a position of strength. Many didn't initially understand why we did it, but by the end of the course, they had a picture. They understood. Children are very smart. Don't let that not talking thing fool you. They're recording. They're recording. They're taking everything in. Their little minds are working like a tape deck of some kind, just pulling that stuff in and categorizing it. Just because they can't articulate words for a long time doesn't mean that they don't understand what's going on. And they will divide a family if you're not careful. You need to be unified because they will get what they want. We're all built that way. We are born with the idea of getting what we want. Child never cries in the middle of the night thinking, well, maybe I just ought to hold off on this. Mom's been up all day. She's tired. They think, I'm hungry. Get the food in here, you know? We are very incoming from the very beginning. We are designed to get what we want. So to get the job done right, parents, we must be unified and we must be strong. Point number three. The thing I'd like you to know is that we are the parents. We, you and your family, you are the parents. You know, in this society today, it kind of gets lost. That kind of gets lost because the government thinks that they're the parent. Google thinks it's a parent. You ever notice that, the way Google takes over your whole cotton-picking system? Don't ever put Norton Utilities on it. I got it on one of my machines. It thinks it owns it, okay? There's a lot of things out there that think they own you. But as parents, you are the parents. We must decide to accept the responsibility. We must decide to accept the responsibility. You know, we homeschooled our kids. Now, we were on the leading bleeding edge because that was more than 30 years ago now. 30 years ago, wow. Time sure flies when you're having fun. Now, that was a hard job to do back then, to get out of the school system to be able to do that. Because the school system thought they owned my children. We had a little discussion with them in front of the school board, the director for student personnel and the administrators of the school system. They were glad, they should have been glad I was in the room, because my wife was about to get up and ask him to step outside. You know, she was raised in Chicago. I kid you not. We were we held our peace, and we just explained to them, and we knew we had the ability to do that. And I basically informed them. I said, your ability to do this only happens if I do not do it. And I says, we will do it. Well, as you know, at least you know Chris. He's pretty competent. He can read, he can write, he can do very exciting things. Yeah. And Nate, yeah, he's very competent also. He's in California. We're trying to get him out here, but you'll get to know him one of these days, hopefully. But we did well because they had a mother that would not take no for an answer. She was on it. And they had a father that backed her up. Mm-hmm. That's how it worked. And that's what we have to do. We have to accept the responsibility. You know, in the wild, an animal is born, he's up and running with the herd very quickly in most cases. Most cases, that's the way it is. Back within hours sometimes. And, you know, the mother will feed the animal for a while, but the animals, you know, start eating, you know, and keep up. What happens if they don't? The predators that follow the herd pick them off. You know, coyote food or lion food or whatever it might be. Or hyena food. The mother feeds the animal for a short time, but soon it has to learn to eat from its surroundings. That needs to keep up. We humans are different. God intended us to be different. We, as humans, have much higher potential, but need a lot more care for a lot longer period of time. Think about it. Most of us can't feed ourselves for a long time. Most of us don't walk for a year. If we were an animal in the wild, we'd be dead. No one's going to hang around long enough to protect us and feed us for a year in the wild, but we do it as humans. A lot of children require 3 or 4 years to learn to speak well. Unless you're Annabelle. She was speaking from the time she was born, I think. I got pictures of her talking to me this close. Before Corona, of course. This close. If we as parents do not accept our responsibility to nurture our children, to take the time it takes to be, in effect, available to them, we are turning them over to the predators that follow the herd. And there are more predators today than ever before. In addition to accepting the responsibility, we must accept the goal and get it firmly in our mind. What is the goal of raising children? Many people out there, other than in our group, our church, the Church of God, do not know what the goal is. They do not have an idea of where we're heading with this. Let me give you a quote. See if you can think about where this came from, some of you who read some of the classics. Would you please tell me which way I ought to go from here? Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to go, said the cat. I don't much care where, said the girl. Then if you don't care as to where you want to go, it doesn't matter which way you go, said the cat. So long as I get somewhere, she said. Oh, you're sure to do that, said the cat, if you only walk long enough. Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, Chapter 6. And the motivational speaker Zig Ziglar says, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. And that's where most of the world is. At best, they're trying to keep order in the family, but they're not aiming at any particular target. What is the goal? Hebrews 2 and verse 9. Hebrews 2 and verse 9. I'll read this from the New Living Translation. I usually read from the New King James, but this is a New Living Translation. Just to give an idea of where we're going here. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. We see Jesus as a human being. He was lower than the angels. They were spirit. And because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. That's why he did it. He was the forerunner. He was the elder brother. He was the firstborn of many brethren. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. We as parents, we are partners with Jesus Christ in bringing many children to glory. We're the first step. We're the ones that deal with the little ones. We are encouraged to shape them, encourage them to reach and achieve physical, mental, spiritual goals so that they can be ready when God calls them. We are, as parents, are working with Christ to bring many children to glory. Parenting, in effect, is training children to become productive adults and to be prepared to rule with Christ when the kingdom of God rules on the earth. Now, doesn't that put it in a little better perspective? That's what we're doing. We're not just feeding these little children and making sure they stay well, as we know how to do, or keeping them to get their sleep at night and getting in the morning and entertaining them during the day. We are actually aiming for something much bigger than that. And with that in our minds, with that goal in front of us, now we can begin to do the things that need to be done. That's the important thing. So, we have the goal. We accept the responsibility. We, as called out adults, parents, grandparents, extended family within the church, yes, that's important. My sons did not have grandparents very close by. My wife and I moved from Illinois to California, got married, and we'd go back once a year, sometimes twice. I mean, to take four people back on the airplane, take time off from work, go see the grandparents, that's expensive and it's time-consuming, and it's not like having a grandparent on site. But we had church grandparents for our kids, some of which made unbelievable impressions. We're the village. Not the dysfunctional village out there. We're the village. And we have our children, ones we own ourselves, one God given us for the first 20 years or so, and then the rest of the extended family to help. We help with Annabelle. We love it. Okay? But grandparenting was so good, I'd try to do it sooner. You know, I mean, it was one of those things. Have more kids and do it sooner. Grandparenting is neat. If you haven't tried it, you'll like it. You'll like it. It's fun. We are the village. Okay, so what are we going to teach? What are we going to teach our children? What are we going to teach our children? This is point number four, keeping points. What must we do for our children? First thing I like to say is, for a child, time is love. Love is spelled T-I-M-E, time. Most children are abandoned to the media, left to fend for themselves at a very early age. You know, we used to say TV is on the average household over 7 hours a day, and most of the time the child's sitting in front of it. Well, that number is actually not that bad anymore. It's going down. So we set them in front of the tablets now on their phones. Nothing's really changed, just the medium. I know we work long hours. I used to do that. Been there, got the t-shirt. Wasn't fun. But we got to find some time. We got to reach down when we come home and bring up some energy. We got to reach down and bring up some energy. You know, you've been out of touch with your children. When your son calls the man behind the meat counter, Dada. Or when you come home from a business trip and he doesn't know you anymore. Gone too long. Yeah, you know, the world will pull you away from your children. And sometimes you have an option to not let that happen. Sometimes, because you're pursuing, you let them do things to you that hurt the family. Gentlemen. Been there, done that. Learn from me. Don't make your own mistake in that area. We must be available to our children. We must be an active part of their lives. We have to be present at work. I know that. You just don't go into work and go la, 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 and they pay you. You got to produce. I know that. We must be present when we serve at church. Thank you for serving at church. You know, there are times when we don't have enough people. Thank you for serving at church. But we also must be present while at home. Quality time with our children is not scheduled. It happens when it happens. And we must be present to win. Thank you very much. The way the game is played, we must be present to win. How many have heard of love languages? Gary Chapman, love languages. Concept of love languages is we need to love a person or deal with a person not as you want to be loved, but as they want to be loved. Now, there's a website out there. It's called www.5lovelanguages.com. The numeral 5lovelanguages.com. And it talks about 5 different ways people like to be related to. Words of affirmation. Oh, that was a good job. Some people like that. Some people say, what's he trying to get from me? Okay, follow me? Okay, but some people like that. Some people could, who cares? I know I did a good job. He didn't need to tell me that. Quality time. Some people want time spent with them. Some people want more solitude. Okay? Receiving gifts. You know, you can go on a business trip and come back and bring your son something, and one of them will say, oh, Dad, wow, that's cool. And the other will say, throw it in the pile. Different personalities, not good or bad. Acts of service. Now, I get up in the morning, I make coffee for my wife. She likes that. And ease her out of bed as it starts smelling really good. You know, we grind the beans and do the whole thing. It's a good thing. Acts of service. And physical touch. Some people like touch. Some children are just huggy, cuddly, touchy people. We all want to touch here, but we're trying to stay our social distance, right? We want to give everyone hugs. Now, that'll come. That'll come. Another time. Go to the love languages site. Get the test. It's right there. Have all the people in your family take it. Find out what their love language is. And then once you can love them in the way they want to be loved, things will really start going well. And a lot of people don't know that because our natural tendency is to love people the way we want to be loved. If we love gifts, we want to give gifts. And the person may think, in the pile with all the other stuff. That's the way we can show them their value. Communicate God's way constantly. Put stars around this one, okay, because that's where we're aiming. God's way works. Okay, Deuteronomy 6. Verse 4, Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Turn over there for a minute. Classic verse, but it's good we read it and put it in our mind. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Yep, that's true. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Be passionate about it. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. We heard about the heart, didn't we? You shall teach them diligently to your children, intensely, when you talk of them, when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You know, most children are very bright, but they still don't get it the first time they hear it. Why? Because knowledge is additive. It's based on knowledge upon knowledge upon knowledge, and it's also based on experience. Okay? A child won't know something is hot until they experience hot. Or they grab a pepper. I remember once we had snap peas growing on the back fence, and the kids would be crawling out there to get snap peas. And one day Nathaniel grabbed a chili pepper instead. Oh, it was terrible. You would have thought we really pulled a fast one on him. He thought he was hurt. He was. It wasn't a snap pea, okay? But that's knowledge. He never did that again. That made a big impression, okay? Made a big impression. You have to understand basic math before you can do algebra. You have to fly a Cessna 172 before you can fly an Airbus, right? That's him saying yes. Remind me to show you something after services. Oh my, you know, it's one of those things. God's way may not make sense when it's first heard, especially if the child is getting mixed signals from his peers. But why can't I go out and party on Friday night? All my friends are doing it. Well, it's not the way it works. Not if you want to live a godly life. Not if you want to live the way God intends you to live. We must send the message, the same message, consistently. Occasionally, you're going to be required to discipline. This is all the one they ask, all the time they ask. Do you ever spank your children? Only when they needed it. Only when they needed it. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3 and verse 1. Proverbs 3 and verse 11. My son, Proverbs 3 and verse 11. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. To spank or not to spank? Timeouts or not timeouts? You know, some have decided they will never spank their children. Some have decided they will do it whenever they need it. Some have decided they do it too much. I don't know. Really not the proper question. The point is, we need to teach our children to obey us. Why? Because we're the great grand poobah and they must obey because I'm the dad. That's why. No, because we're the type of Jesus Christ. If they don't obey you, they will not obey him. Guaranteed. They're not going to say, well, I'm going to diss my dad, but God, you're it. No, they will diss both. They will diss both. And that can go for mom too. When you are parents and your children are small, you are, in effect, God to them. The husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. This has all been ordained before time. It's the way it works. As far as spanking, I call it feedback. Okay? If you can get their attention by looking at them and give them a stern look, that's fine. Some need a little more encouragement. Okay? Now, if that's the only thing you do with your children, you got to take a look at that. That's too much. You shouldn't have to spank children very often. But occasionally, especially with boys, you got to get their attention before teaching can begin. And sometimes boys, you know, we are slower a lot of times than girls. It takes us to about age 30 to catch up. Telling you the truth. Little girls are faster in most everything. They can learn it quicker. And that doesn't mean they're less stubborn. We know some that are pretty stubborn. But they still need correction, and they need that constant attention. And they need we need to tell them nothing about mixed signals. They need to hear the same message over and over and over again. So what are we going to teach them? I would like to suggest the book of Proverbs as a starting point. First of all, it's easy to read. It's in small bites. It's great for a Friday night Bible study where you can come up with a thing and start talking. What does this mean? Ask questions. Think like you're doing a sermonette, you know? All you ladies, you want to do a sermonette? Do a sermonette. It's okay in the household. You can sit down and do all this. My kids have heard some great sermons from her. Oh, yeah. He knows how to do it. Just because we stand up here doesn't mean you can't preach to your kids and about life. In fact, they need that. The book of Proverbs is full of life lessons. What kind of life lessons, you might ask? How about cause and effect? Oh yeah, cause and effect. See, a lot of things in the world, people don't think there's cause and effect. They think it just varies depending on what happens. They think if you get away with it, it wasn't a problem. Yeah, Dad got away with it, cheating or speeding, is not a problem. Well, there's a pattern that develops in not doing things God's way to where you begin to not do things God's way to your hurt at some point. Proverbs 1, good place to start. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. That's not a chain like this. This is a chain of decoration, kids. Don't misunderstand. The fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which your Lord, your God, is giving you. Why? They're assuming that your father and your mother will be teaching you God's principles. How do you teach cause and effect? You give instructions and you allow consequences. Small consequences. Not big consequences. Not ones that are going to hurt the child, but ones that are going to drive the lesson home. And keep the rules the same. Because if the rules change, the child gets confused. I mean, what happens if you were to get out of the morning and instead of putting your feet down on the floor, all of a sudden you find yourself up on the ceiling? Wouldn't that be confusing? You know, gravity always goes this way, not this way. And whenever you do anything to negate that, like in the International Space Station, weird things happen. Okay? And you have to get used to that. And when you come back, I remember talking to some guys who went up in space and they got used to being up there and doing things. And one guy told me, he said, yeah. He said, I was in the bathroom shaving and I had my shaving stuff and I just let go of it and it hit the floor. It really surprised me because he had been doing stuff up in space and he let go of it and it stays right there. But he forgot where he was at. And it, oh, gravity. Yeah, I'm on Earth right now. Okay. New reference. Well, children get confused if you change the rules, so keep it good. Teach them how to be productive. Teach them how to be productive. 2 Timothy 3:10 says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. More and more people today are not productive. Now, I'm not talking about the COVID thing where that was a government-induced recession. That was government decision recession. Was it good? I don't know. We'll see what happens. But it's what they did. If you lost a job during the recession of 2020, it was probably not because you were not a productive worker. You know, they closed the place you worked. For 3 months, they closed it. Not your fault. But there's a lot of people who have gotten used to not producing. And that is hurtful to them, and it's hurtful to the whole country. And learning to be productive begins at an early age. A child, when he's very young, wants to do things. They want to be with you. If you're up there, I mean, my kids even like to wear ties when they were young. Christopher hates them now. They'll tolerate them. But since Dad went to work back then in a tie, old days, and went to church in a tie, when they were young, they had ties and they loved them. They want to be like you. So if you're productive, they'll want to be productive. And I know you can do it better and faster and easier than they having them help you. But having them help you is training them in the way that they should go. And they will get value and work. Nate and I still do projects together. When Chris has something going on, I go, hey, Dad, you available Sunday? Yeah, okay, fine. Come over and do it. We like to work together as a family, as a team. When I was up on a ladder doing an addition on a house years ago, Nate was 2 years old. He was right 2 steps below me on the ladder with his tool belt and his hammer. 2 years old. Is it any wonder that he builds cars now? You know, I mean, what he does and engineers things. Christopher needed money when he was a kid. He had wants, needs, and desires more than I could supply. I was beginning to feel like the ATM, you know, $20, tchum, tchum, tchum. And I said, what you need is a job. Well, Dad, I'm under 16. I can't get a job. And he said, and I said, well, how about cutting lawns? And he said, I don't want to cut lawns. I said, well, go find something else. So he went out and he looked around. He came back a couple weeks later and said, I think I'll cut lawns. I knew he could cut the lawn, okay? So I bought the lawnmower and I bought an edger and I said, got a deal for you. You cut the lawn as many as you want in a week. You can use my stuff. I'll buy the gas, but my lawn gets cut every week or two whenever it needs it. They said, sold. So I started a lawn cutting business. At age 12 or 13 years old, he was able to make more money than a lot of kids, 16, 18, working in fast food or whatever. And he hired his brother, Nate. It was funny. It was great. And guess what? They're productive today. They both pay their way and they do well. And they're givers and they serve. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Proverbs 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his deeds, whether he does pure and right. There's that word again, pure and right. A wise parent will encourage productivity. Another big thing I would teach children, and I see it, have seen it over the years, teach them how to work with and get along with others. You know, I've been working at a lot of places in my lifetime. I've had a lot of different jobs, different professions, different companies. And most people I see lose their jobs, unless there's a downturn. You know, I mean, I worked in aerospace about the time it was doing this, and I didn't get axed in that business because I was new and I was low paid compared to the guys that had been in it 20 years. But I could see it was going down, and I switched to data processing. But I've discovered that a lot of people that cannot hold jobs, a lot of people that are always having problems in the neighborhood, never were taught to get along with people. I've seen very few people lose a job based on, well, I can't do it, or I oversold myself and I'm a dunce, really. I just made you think I was like wonderful. Most of the time, it's they can't get along. Coworkers, boss, whatever. Customers. Especially customers. Yeah. Romans 12, verse 17. Romans 12, verse 17. Good to apply during these times that we're currently living in. Without getting into any details on that, I'm not going to get into that. I was going to speak on some of the stuff associated with the present distress, but I thought I'm going to let it settle for a while. There are a lot of other people speaking about it. Let's settle for a while, but there are some good scriptures in here that fall under this category of teaching them how to get along with other people. Romans 12, verse 17. Okay, that was 11, 17. That's not the one. Right, here we go, 12, 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall diligently... Whoops. I slipped. I missed. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for the good things in the sight of all men. And if much as possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. There'd be a lot of children alive today if they had that skill. When I was a child, occasionally we'd have an altercation at school and we'd invite each other out to the playground and we'd go for it. Nowadays, you might just be bringing a knife to a gunfight. As much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Walk away. Walk away. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We'll let him handle it. He can do it. much better. Teach your children how to serve. Teach your children how to serve. Just want to say that there are opportunities here at church, and there are opportunities out there in the neighborhood, and there's opportunities wherever. Find ways that your children can serve, because that is a good thing to do. You know, when our kids were small, I had to fight a lot of deacons to get to teach them sound. They wanted to learn sound. They were into this technical stuff. And a lot of the deacons of sound wouldn't let them do it. So we had to convince them that it would be a good thing, and that they weren't trying to take their job, but they could teach the children. And guess what? Both of them can do sound. Both of them like to do sound. It's a good thing. And they serve in other ways, because that was the first thing they could do. We weren't going to assign them sermonettes at age 7, you know? It was just a little early. Although some could have done pretty well. Teach them to serve. Teach them about God. Very important. You know, we sometimes think it's kind of corny or not appropriate to mention God in the family. Sometimes we think, well, you know, they know about God. We go to church every week, and they see me studying my Bible and stuff like that. But we used to have signs in our house that said, God's way works, up on the wall. Yeah, I used to let them get a stapler and staple into the wall. Now I fixed that before we sold the house. You know, but while it was their room, I let them put that stuff on the wall. God's way works. I wanted them to get up in the morning and say, oh, God's way works. Lay in bed at night, oh, God's way works. Why? Because God's way works. God's way works. There's a common but erroneous belief that God's way is not fun, but constricting and limiting and boring. In actuality, if properly understood, it's liberating, exciting, and full of potential. Now and in the future. Now and in the future. Luke 18, verse 28. Luke 18, verse 28. Luke 18, verse 28. Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. We are so wonderful. And he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left houses, or parents, or brothers, or wife, or children, for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life. God says, it's going to be good for you if you obey me now and in the kingdom of God when it rules on the earth. Not that you'll never have a problem, but you're always going to have God at your back. You're always going to be able to get through. You're going to do the things that work rather than the things that cause pain and suffering. You know, there's so much about, oh, all the COVID-19, how many cases we have in this country and how many have died. And I understand there are probably some people who have died. Some of those things we hear may even be true. Some may be, and they may be off. I don't know. I'm not a medical expert. But they've neglected a few things. How many cases of STDs have been happening in this United States in 1 year? 20 million. Would it be worth to teach your children that God's way works in the area of purity, sexual relations, marriage, and family? 20 million, and you know that half of it is in the category between 15 and 24 is where most of them are. Only 12% have been tested. And I understand the virus is a problem, but we got bigger problems, bigger fish out there. And we as parents have some control over that when they're this big. Keeping them out of drugs, keeping them out of things that will encourage that kind of behavior. Knowing where your children are on Friday night and Saturday night. God's way works. We shall receive wonderful things in this present time and in the age to come, eternal life. Teach them about their calling and their potential. Teach them about their calling and their potential. Kids don't know where they're going today. I mean, the religious ones think they're going to heaven. Not real exciting. When I was in the churches of this world, I knew that that's what they taught, and I wasn't real excited about it. I was more interested in going to the drive-in with my friends. Now it's the mall, okay? Well, maybe it's not the mall now. They shut it down. Wherever they go. Teach them about their calling and their potential. 1 John 3, verse 1. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. That we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. For we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You want power to change things? You want power to make things right? Follow the path. Be there when that happens, because you will be given power and the knowledge and the wisdom and all the things necessary to really fix the problems. You know, I look out there and say, well, this one didn't do this, and this one did that, and this one over here, and this and that. Somebody said, Bob, you're it. You're in charge. What would you do? I'd go, where would you start? The way God's going to start. He's going to go, and then he's going to start. Now, here's gentlemen, as they say. This is a football. He's going to start from the basics. This is my law. I know you heard it was the Jewish law, but it's my law, and here's how it goes. But you got to have a lot of power to do that, and the world has to be ready. Okay, let's wrap it up pretty quick here. Say, Mr. Koza, that sounds like a lot of work. Am I up to it? You're it. You have children, you're it. You're in this body, and you have grandkids, you're it. And if you're a member of the extended family, you're it. Whatever you can do or are allowed to do, you do and help. Kids need all the friends and help they can get of people that are genuinely interested for their welfare and their good, not to get something from them. How can I do what must be done? All of us need advice from time to time. If you don't have the answer, ask people that have done it. You still say yes or no because you're the parent. Remember that. You can gather information from all over, many sources. Solomon said of a multitude of books, there's no end. Yeah, and that was in his time, 1,000 years before Christ was born. It's worse. Some of them actually have some good information in them, but you got to filter it through this book. Get some advice from those that have gone before you. Study the scripture. You know, God is not silent on raising kids. It's one of his favorite subjects. There's a lot of good stuff in here on that. But we have to dig it out. We have to pray about it. We need to ask God for help. We need to ask God for help. We need to put ourselves before the throne of grace and say, God, you know, you gave me these children, and they didn't read the same book I read, and they aren't listening, and I don't know what to do. Show me the way. As they always say, the church moves forward on its knees. Families move forward on their knees. Ask them. Ask God. Inspire me to know what to do with this bundle of joy you've given me, whether they be this big or this big. Now, at some point, when they hit about 20 years of age, in most cases, they're going to go somehow. Most people. Some not, but most are going to go. At that point, you are not the parent anymore in the sense of you are totally responsible. Now they're going to be one-on-one with God. I never tell my kids anything anymore, not unless I'm asked. I will make suggestions on occasion. I will ask them to consider, but I never do this. That's done. I had my chance. Had my chance. And I always tell them, I say, if we did something you thought was right, continue. And if we did something you thought was not right, change it. You are the parent. You are responsible. You get to learn your lessons too. Are there things as a parent I would do differently? Oh yeah. Did I do it out of malice to hurt my kids? No. And neither did you. But as we move forward, we learn. And God didn't require we get a degree in parenting before we have children. In fact, people can have children before they even get married. Long before they're mature enough to have a family or know the responsibilities. I'm going to ask God why he allowed that someday. That's kind of weird. Why did he let us do that before we knew, before we had any instruction in it? Interesting question. Conclusion, brethren, we cannot protect our children from all the evils of the world, and we cannot call or convert them. Another point. Only God can call and convert them. But what we can do is prepare the ground. We can show them that God's way works. We can raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can teach them about life and instruct them in the godly principles, the principles that will benefit them in this world and in the world to come. As parents, it's our job, our duty, and our